Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So the Bible gives us all kinds of details about us not living for ourselves and living for God. Being willing to sacrifice, being willing to surrender, knowing that we will have troubles and persecutions and difficulties. We've been warned. So what do? I don't want troubles. I don't want persecutions. I don't want difficulties. So I'm not going to serve God. We don't do that, do we? We say, so be it. I'll live for Christ.
We live sacrificially for Jesus because He sacrificed His life for us. He paid the ultimate price as the one and only perfect sacrifice so that our sin could be forgiven by His blood and we could spend eternity with Him. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for what God wants, even if it means there might be some difficulties along their way. And there will be. With part two of our study out of Acts 21, 1 through 25, and Paul on his way to Jerusalem, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Why had Paul determined in his spirit to go to Jerusalem? Why was he so set on it, even though everywhere he's going, he's getting people telling him not to go? I believe it is because of his great heart and love for his own countrymen. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and although Jews did get saved under the work of Paul, he had a great heart for those in Jerusalem. And I think that Paul thought, if I could just share with my brethren, I mean, he knows them. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He ministered alongside of them in Jerusalem. And he thought, if I could just share with them, they'll receive Christ. Why do I think that? Listen to what Paul says in Romans. Now, the book of Romans is written while Paul is in Corinth, before he goes to Ephesus, before he determines in his spirit to go all the way to Jerusalem. So we know Paul felt this way before he ever was moved or bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. Listen to what he says, and listen to this carefully. This is Romans 9, 1 through 5. I tell you the truth in Christ, Paul says. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Now he's trying to get you to believe something he's going to say, which is going to be pretty unbelievable, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed for Christ, that my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory of the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, the eternal blessed God. Amen. Paul says, I'm going to shorten this up. I wish, and I swear to you by God that this is the truth. I wish that I could be damned for all of eternity, that my brethren could be saved, those who are Israelites. Paul had such a heart for the nation of Israel, for whom Christ had come to, whom he wanted to come to Christ, that he didn't care if he was arrested and killed. He was ready to do that if only he could give the gospel to those who were in Rome. In Jerusalem. And he will in Rome too. But that's what he wanted. The answer, he's told what's going to happen to him the entire way. Why did he go? Because he wanted to go. I don't know if you have ever wanted someone to come to Christ and be given eternity so much that you were willing to exchange your own salvation for it. That's what Paul says. Maybe our children, right? Lord, I'd give up my place if you just save my kids. We start to get a feel for how Paul feels about the brethren. And when I think of Paul's great love for people coming to Christ, that he's willing to be bound in chains and go to Rome and turn into a prison ministry from a missionary ministry, I wonder if we have enough of a heart for the lost. And I think, Lord, would you stir us up? Would you give us a heart for our family, for our friends, for our children, for our co-workers, that we might see them come to Christ? It's got to be a work of God, but you and I are called to plant and to water, that we might have open doors to be able to share to them. May God, through looking at Paul's heart for those in Jerusalem, may God stir up our heart for those who are lost. So we see the rest of the trip, and I think that's why Paul continues on no matter what. He has a heart for them. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And so when Paul wouldn't be persuaded, he's going to Jerusalem, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." They ceased saying, not cease saying, "The will of the Lord be done," but they ceased saying, you know, "Don't go." And they said, "The will of the Lord be done," which is what we want, right? We're all on a race. We all been given a race to run. And whatever God wants us to do, however God wants us to minister, "The will of the Lord be done." That's a good thing to say. Then verse 5, "After those days, we packed and went to Jerusalem." I love that he says here he packed. Luke says, "After these days, we packed and went to Jerusalem." They've been traveling for how long? Going from place to place through these ships? But now, this might be the first time that Luke gets to go to Jerusalem. And so Luke says, "We packed." Got up and got excited. He's packing his things. He goes to Jerusalem. Verse 16, "Also some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Manasen of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem," and now this group of people, some people from Caesarea, we have a Macedonian named Luke, we've got Timothy who is there as well, we've got different traveling companions of Paul, and they make their way into the city of Jerusalem. It says, "The brethren received us gladly." The first time Paul went to Jerusalem after becoming a Christian, they were so scared of him, they wouldn't even talk to him. They were like, "We ain't talking to this guy." But now the brethren see him and they receive him gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all of the elders were present. James is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and James is the half-brother of Jesus. When Jesus was alive, he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. But remember, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to James. James, we're told in the book of Josephus, is arrested, taken to the pinnacle of the temple. This is Josephus who tells us this, and they throw him off. He is killed for his faith in Christ. He's now leading the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul stands before James, and all of the elders were present. We don't know if these are the apostles. Maybe they've dispersed by this point, who these elders are. Maybe it's some of the apostles. In verse 19, when he had greeted them, this is Paul, he told the details of the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry, how Paul had gone and brought people to Christ. And remember how we talked about how unlikely this is? Paul is a Jew, a Pharisee. He calls himself a Jew who is of a Jew, two Jewish parents. And he's a Pharisee, of a Pharisee. His dad was a Pharisee, he's a Pharisee. He sits at the seat of Gamaliel, and God says, "I'm going to use you to go to the Gentiles." How often God uses us in ways we didn't think. You think, "I'm suited this way," and God says, "I got another plan." And so he tells them how what God did through him with the Gentiles. Then verse 20, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed.'" Now, what James and the council does, or the elders, is they refocus what Paul has said. Paul comes in and he's excited about all of the Gentiles that have gotten saved. And they now say, "Do you see how many Jews have come to Christ?" But then they say something else that's troubling. "And they are all zealous for the law." Now, if you've been following the book of Acts with us, then you know that there is this tension between Jews who believe you have to keep the law to be saved and Jews who believe you're free to keep the law, but it doesn't save you. Now, we know from Galatians and Romans and the book of Hebrews, who is written by somebody different than Paul, we know that the law doesn't save us, and we are not under the law. There are people today there's a growing number of Torah keepers who are telling us that we need to keep the law to really be right with God. But here's what we know the Bible teaches us. We're free. We of all people are the most free. And if you want to keep the kosher law, if you want to keep the kosher diet as a Christian, as a Gentile Christian or a Jewish Christian, you can do that. You have the freedom to do that. But you've got to know it doesn't make you any closer to God, and it doesn't make you better than the person next to you. Because that's generally what happens. We decide, you know what? I think I'm going to eat kosher. And so you sacrifice shrimp and lobster, which are some of the things you give up when you start to eat kosher. And ham sandwiches, by the way, as well, and bacon. But what happens is we begin to think that we're better than someone else. Or maybe you decide, you know, there was the covenant with Israel that the Sabbath day was Saturday. We go to church on the Lord's Day, the day he rose from the dead, but I think I'm going to start going to church on Saturday. You have freedom to do that, as long as you don't think you're better than people who go to church on Saturday, as long as you don't think you're more saved than someone else. See, that's what happens with legalism. Once you begin to get zealous for the law, then you begin to believe you're better than others. Romans 14 clearly tells us we're not. So here's what they want Paul to do. So we got all these Jews who are zealous for the law. Verse 21. But they have been informed about you, that you teach all Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought to not circumcise their children nor walk according to the customs. Now, Paul doesn't say that. Paul could have defended himself. He could have said what I just said to you. I don't tell them that. I tell them that it doesn't save them. If they want to circumcise their children, Paul doesn't stop them. As a Jew who's serving God, who's become a Christian, they can circumcise their kids in Judaism. It just doesn't save them. But now you see this tension between the Judaizers and what they want from Paul. Verse 22, what then? The assembly must certainly meet. Well, they already did that in Acts 15. And they determined they were going to lay no burdens for keeping the law on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 15. But they're going to meet again. The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. We've got a lot of trouble now. These Judaizers heard you've come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We got a plan. James and the elders, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow, probably the Nazarite vow. We'll cover this next week. Take them and be purified with them. So go through the vow with them, which Paul has the freedom to do that. Paul said, to the Jew, I become Jew. To the Gentile, I become Gentile. So, and he says, and pray and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, which is why we think it's the Nazarite vow. And again, we'll talk next week about that. That they all may know these things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing. Paul could have said, or I'll explain to them what I'm teaching. That you are free if you want to keep the law, it just doesn't save you. But that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. Now, I think that Paul wants to keep peace at this point. He doesn't mind becoming a Jew to reach the Jews. And so Paul doesn't bicker over this point. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing except that they should keep themselves from things that are offered to idols, from blood and things strangled, and from sexual immorality, which is what we read in chapter 15. They're just recovering now what was said. So Paul is set on this course. And when he enters into the temple with these four young men, that is when it all, spoiler alert, that's when it all breaks loose. And boy, does it break loose. And that's what we're going to be covering next week, what God had been warning Paul about. Now, three things in closing. Thinking about Paul, his determination, being bound in the Spirit to go, even though he knows there's difficulties and hardships that are leading him there. Number one, God has given us directions about what we're going to go through in the Scriptures. Why did God speak through Paul, through all of these different prophets along the way on his journey? because we had yet to have Paul's writing in the New Testament. Paul doesn't have the New Testament where he can go and read about being a sacrifice. We don't have that. But Paul said we are living sacrifices, no longer living for ourselves, but living for Christ. So the Bible gives us all kinds of details about us not living for ourselves and living for God. Being willing to sacrifice, being willing to surrender, knowing that we will have troubles and persecutions and difficulties. We've been warned. So what do? I don't want troubles. I don't want persecutions. I don't want difficulties. So I'm not going to serve God. We don't do that, do we? We say, so be it. I'll live for Christ, whatever God wants. And if it brings difficulties into my life, then I'll accept those difficulties. This is happening, by the way, in other parts of the world in a heavier way. Christians are paying the price for their faith and sharing the gospel in North Korea, in Iran, which there is a revival taking place. More Christians are coming to Christ in Iran than at any other time, even though they're fighting against it. And other parts of the world where when you give your life to Christ, you pay a price, and they are giving their lives to Christ anyway. Paul is showing, leading the way, that no matter what the cost is, I'll live for Jesus. I'll live for him. Number two, Paul had the greatest heart for the lost that we've ever seen. I would be accursed that my brethren could be saved. May God increase our heart for the lost. May the reality of the judgment of the wrath of God being upon them touch our hearts that they might find God's grace. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve judgment. But God's given me mercy through Christ. And the same is true with you, right? God's given you mercy. May God increase our heart for the lost. And finally, it's good to say, the Lord's will be done. Even though there might be a cost, your will, Lord. Have you heard that anywhere else, by the way? How did the Lord teach us to pray? Not my will, but your will be done, Jesus said. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, O Lord. Why did he go? Because he wants to share his faith with those who are Jewish. And we're going to see him doing that next week. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we have this difficult passage for us to see all of the warnings that are given to Paul. And yet he goes to Jerusalem anyway, and he will end up in chains there. And Lord, I pray that we would have a heart for those who are lost and perishing, that even if there is a cost in our lives, we are willing to pay that cost. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe in the past you made a commitment to him, but you didn't follow through with it. Maybe you think you're a Christian because you go to church or you are born into a Christian family. But Jesus said you must be born again. The Bible says that we have to be transformed. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. You have to have the Holy Spirit change you and cause you to be born again into the kingdom of God. So how does this happen? The Bible says in John 1:12, this is very biblical, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Jesus has given you many invitations. Are you weary and heavy laden, Jesus said? Then come unto me and find rest. If you come unto me and drink, then out of you will gush torrents of living water. Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Do you need Christ? Then you can receive him today. You can say, Lord, I want you in my life. He's just waiting for that invitation. And the Bible says, if you believe, you will be saved. What a confidence that if you call out upon him now, that you will be given eternity. You want to surrender your life to Christ now? You want to stop living for yourself and begin living for him? What I'm telling you is that you are going to become like a disciple, like Peter, James, and John that left their net and followed Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone follows me, let them deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. This means you're no longer living for you. You are now living for Him. If you're ready to do that today, you're ready to surrender your life and begin to live for Him, then I'm going to ask you to do something very simple in the physical, but very profound for your life. Just lift your hand up now. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. God bless you. All the way in the back there. Sir, that's awesome. God bless you. That's awesome, sir. God's got a plan. Anyone else? Just raise your hand now. Be bold. Jesus died for you. You're now saying, I'm going to live for you. Or die for you. I'm yours. God bless you. Right here, young man. That's great. Anyone else? And if you're online, you want to pray this prayer, you can pray this prayer as well because Jesus is there with you. And for those of you who raised your hand, and everyone else here, I'd ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. I will never forget when I gave my life to Christ, how God transformed me and I became a new person. And that's exactly what God does when you surrender your life to Him. There's a new believers table on the lower section. We've got a new believers team here. We got a Bible we want to give you, a new believers packet. Stop by there, pick those things up. We want to help you be able to be established strongly in Christ. Now, I don't know, you raised your hand. I don't know if you are making a recommitment or committing for the very first time. People do both of those. And whatever it is, God will respond and move in your life as you have said to Him today, I'm done living for myself and I am now ready to live for you. Now I want to bless you guys before you go. A blessing is a spoken prayer. And I put together a couple of verses that are a couple of my favorite verses to bless you with them. So I want to go over these verses which speak about whom God is. And then I want to bless you in the God of these verses. Now, unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God. And now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, I put you in His hands. I bless you in His name. May He fill you with the Spirit. May He open doors for you to be able to share your faith. May God use you for His glory as you make sacrifices for Him.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.